All right. Our scripture this morning is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 860. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May the Lord add His blessing to this, the reading of His holy word. I want to begin by simply saying that I preached on 2 Peter nearly 2 years ago when we were right in the middle of quarantine and isolation and things like that. And you may be asking, why, if in October of 2000 we were reading 2 Peter, are we still going to look at 2 Peter now, some 21 months later? And the reason why is because I believe that Jude and 2 Peter go together so well. We finished Jude a couple weeks ago with these words: to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, both now and forevermore. We see also in 2 Peter, as I just read, that if we do these things, we will never fall. That, as we juxtapose Peter and Jude, God is keeping us from falling, but we also have a responsibility to prevent ourselves from falling. And so I wanted to look at 2 Peter as a balance to Jude. Contend for the faith, and I want you to think about that as we look at 2 Peter as well. That he is calling for us to contend for the faith. What would you write if you were writing to your friends or loved ones and knew that this would be your last letter? Would you share your love, your concerns, your wisdom, your hopes? Because over the next few weeks, we're going to look at this second letter from Peter. And he shares all those things. Because Peter wrote this letter while he was in Rome around AD 65, just prior to his martyrdom at the hands of Nero, the emperor of Rome. It's a personal and pastoral letter written to a persecuted church. As we saw in Jude's letter, Peter is concerned with false teachers who are introducing destructive heresies. We're going to look at that when we look at chapter 2. But before he addresses the problem, he wants to remind the church of the provision that God has for his people. And as we read these verses, I want you to think about that imagery of contending for the faith, of fighting for the faith, and asking yourselves, do I have what it takes? Do I have a contentious faith? Do I have a trained mind? Do I have the resources to challenge the world? And the first thing that Peter wants us to know in verse 3 is that God has equipped us with all we need. He begins verse 3 by saying, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. This divine power is connected to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oftentimes we think of the power of God, but in Peter's case, he is talking about the power of Christ. He is specifically talking about the dynamo, that explosive power that conquered sin and the grave. He is talking about the power that was made manifest through the cross and the tomb, his resurrection, that gives us eternal life. And the reason why I say that is because his divine power, which gives us everything we need for life, for godliness, was made known through our knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and goodness. This power is available because we know who Jesus is. We are saved from sin and reunited with God because we understand. We have been given knowledge of who Jesus is. We have seen his glory and his goodness. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, because we have his divine power that gives us everything we need to live eternally for God, through his knowledge, we now have, through this revelation of who Jesus is, through our understanding of his glory and his goodness, we now have access to all the promises of God. The promises of God are now available to us who know Jesus. In particular, through these, his glory and goodness, made known to us through his power that is at work within us. He has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world. Now we need to understand that we are given the promises so that we can participate in the divine nature. We are not ourselves given the divine nature. It does not say to receive the divine nature. It simply says that we are able to participate in the divine nature of God. We share in God's character in some ways at some times because we have been given the promise. In particular, we have been given the Holy Spirit. If I go and leave, I will send you the promised Spirit, the one who is going to come alongside you, who will remind you of all the things that I have taught you. And so we participate in the divine nature. We are not omnipresent. We are not omniscient. We don't know everything. We are not all powerful. But we are sharing in that nature. We are benefiting somewhat through our connection with Christ, our connection with the Holy Spirit. In the divine nature, we participate. The power of Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the love of God, the patience of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God flows through us. And we partner together with God to accomplish all the things that need to be done and to escape the corruption of this world caused by the sinful desires of the flesh. God has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. We have been given everything we need. We lack nothing necessary for reunion with God. But that doesn't simply mean that we sit down and say, you know what? God's given me everything I need. Just need to sit and wait. Instead, we are expected to do something with these, with the knowledge, with the participation in the divine nature, with the fact that we understand the promises. We are expected to make every effort. It says in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. We are to live out the godly lives that God has given us. And what Peter suggests we do is we build a staircase. Now, this staircase is a rhetorical device. There are 8 steps. And Peter is not saying, based on the culture of what he is saying, he's not saying, okay, to faith, add goodness. And to goodness, add knowledge. And to knowledge, add self-control. What he's saying is, in order to get from where you are to where God desires you to be, you need this whole staircase. And so, here are the components. And as he shares them, they are not necessarily all-inclusive. They are not necessarily things that we will say, well, this is what it means and this is what it doesn't mean. What he's saying is faith. We start with faith. We start with trust and belief. We start with a foundational teaching. We have an understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And we trust him. And we trust his death and resurrection as forgiveness of our sin. And to that, the general idea of goodness. What should faith produce? Faith should produce a moral uprightness, a goodness. If we are following Christ, if we are trusting in Christ, we should be good. But there are so many choices that we need to make. And so Peter says, add to that not just a general knowledge, because general knowledge comes from God. He's already said that. But the knowledge of what God is desiring for us, discernment, being able to know the difference between what is good and what is evil. And then add to that self-control. You ought to be desiring to be good. You ought to be knowing what is good and evil. And you ought to be avoiding what is evil. Practicing self-control or temperance. That we are not all over the place. That we are temperate. We are even-keeled. And then add to that endurance, perseverance, stick-to-itiveness. That our faith, we are to add deliberation, patience, godliness, being right and upright and just. And then loving kindness, compassion, and ultimately love, self-sacrificing love. And what Peter says is that we should be increasing, adding these qualities in an ever-increasing manner. We ought to be working so that we get all A's on our report card. We ought to never be saying, well, a C in perseverance is pretty good for me. Because what Peter is saying is, if you can enable these things, if you can be ever-increasing in these things, and the scriptures would never ask us to do something that is impossible to do. It's not as if we can't grow in these areas in our entire lives. I thought I had perseverance, but I realized that there are situations that I can continue to grow in perseverance or faith or goodness or kindness or love. Because what Peter says is, if you possess these qualities, verse 8 says, in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we make every effort, we will not become idle or fruitless. We remain active and fruitful by accepting God's provision and adding God's character in our lives. But if we cease to increase in these areas, we become blind. We literally close our eyes, become short-sighted, and we forget our very forgiveness. I like the way the Message paraphrases verse 8. With these qualities active and growing in your life, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Isn't that what we want? No grass will grow under our feet. No day will pass without its reward as we mature in our experience of our Master Jesus. God promises blessings for those who work hard in increasing their godly character. But there's more. We're encouraged to act out our new nature. Verse 10. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, my beloved, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. This is very similar to verse 5, which said, make every effort. This is be all the more eager. Do all you can to validate your salvation in Christ. And Peter gives two reasons why we ought to be doing that. If you do these things, sort of the negative, you will never fall. Peter is likely alluding to the efforts of the false teachers. And he's saying, if you can continue to increase, take advantage and utilize everything that God has given you, everything that the power of Christ enables you to do, if you can continue to do these things, you will not fall. You will not become disqualified in the race. You will not be tripped up and become ineffective or idle. And instead, you will ensure your rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You won't fall, and you will receive that rich, abundant welcome. Our sermon in a sentence is this. Do all you can to supplement what the Savior has supplied. Christ has supplied us through his resurrection power all we need for eternal life. And we are now commanded to supplement what we have been given by partnering in his nature to increase in our character. We are called to be certain of our salvation and not to fall before we finish. The fact is that there are so many voices who will seek to separate us from our Savior. There are temptations within and trials without, and we need to hear and heed Peter's advice. He knew what it felt like to disappointingly deny the truth because the pressures of the crowd became too much. And he wants to help us avoid a similar fate. And so he says, remember that you have been given everything. So make every effort to supplement what the Savior has supplied. And when you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your truth. And now, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to do it, that we would be able to keep your word, that we would be able to increase in these characteristics of godliness, and that we would know our call, that we would know our election is sure and certain. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.